All right, if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And we're continuing in the introduction. We have the introduction of the two characters that are there in the greeting with Paul and Timothy. We dealt with that last time. And now we're going to deal with the other part that is uniquely Christian in greeting. If you travel different places, hear different languages, different people have different things that they say in greeting. We say hi, hello. If you're in the South, it's hey. A lot of different things. If you are in Israel, they say shalom. And shalom means, somebody tell me, peace. All right. If you lived in ancient Greece or the Greek-speaking parts of the Roman Empire, the greeting was charis, which is the Greek word for grace. But this was changed a little bit as far as Christianity is concerned. It created an enhanced meaning with the idea of God's grace, God giving us something that we don't deserve. And then he also has, let's read that again, in verse 2. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace is 16 times in our New Testament as a greeting. And it is always in that order. Because biblically, theologically, grace must always precede peace. We cannot have peace with God, and we cannot truly have peace of mind, not in reality, unless we have received God's grace. I was reading an article this past week about atheism, and one of the things that it's kind of interesting. Most people, I have met a number of people that claim to be atheists over the years, engaged them, had conversations with them, and so on. And most atheists that I have ever come across are not objective atheists. In other words, well, I checked out the data, and this was a conclusion that I came to after careful consideration and study. Virtually every atheist I've ever come across, it's been a reaction. And it's usually been a reaction not to something that they learned or a book that they read or something, but rather something that they had experienced. They were angry. They were furious. God had let them down, and therefore I'll show him. I won't believe in him anymore. And that's about half the cases, that somehow or another, they are angry at God and with God. And so I'll show God I won't believe in him anymore, as if this vindictive attitude is going to harm God. There's other folks that wish to live as they please. They wish to indulge themselves. And in order to justify their behavior, in order to give themselves a false sense of security in their lifestyle, I'm just going to refuse the existence of God, because that way there is no accountability, there is no future judgment. When I'm dead, I go back to the ground, and the person who believes is no better off than I am doing what I did. And that is very often the case. And so we have this false sense of peace that folks that deny the gospel, those who refuse the grace of God, are clinging to. But there's really not a lot of peace with that. I would much rather have the great hope that is promised by God of eternal life, instead of struggling on with this life that, frankly, we have to admit, the older we get, the harder it gets in a lot of ways. I mean, ideally, we're growing wiser, but we don't, and more intelligent, and we have great ideas, maybe, but we get to a point where we don't have the energy, the physical ability to follow through and do those things. And if in this life I peak out at like 40, 45, and then everything else is downhill, and I don't have any hope of the hereafter. That's pretty dismal outlook. I have peace because of the future. I have peace as far as eternity is concerned. I have peace with God because I no longer have to fear God other than reverential fear. I no longer am in terror of God as my judge, as the one who will, in his justice, punish me with everlasting fire. My sins have been forgiven. I have been absolved of my guilt as far as God is concerned. And I have everlasting life. I have the certainty of glorification. I have been adopted as a child of God. I have all these great things. I have peace with God. And therefore, I also have peace of mind. Now, why do I have all those things? Because of grace. Without grace, I cannot truly have peace. And as a believer, I can step into any situation. I can have anything happen to me. And if I am thinking biblically, I can have peace. And I need to have peace, and I ought to have peace. How is that possible? Again, verse 2. I get this from God our Father, who so loved the world that he, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his only begotten Son. And so we have grace, we have forgiveness because of the propitiation that was motivated by the love of God and fulfilled by the Son, the author and finisher of our salvation. That's his introduction, verses 1 and 2. That's his, hello folks, this is Paul. And then in verse 3, he launches into his regard for the Philippians. Philippi was an interesting church as far as the different places that Paul ministered to. Granted, he had an unpleasant experience, you know, the whole Philippian jail thing, the beating, and so on. But other than that, his experience with Philippi was always very positive, with the believers, was always very, very positive. It was very supportive. As if you're a missionary and you travel around, or you're an evangelist, but somebody who travels around to different churches, there are certain churches that you go to, and I experienced this as a youth evangelist. I preached in over 20 churches as a youth evangelist. And there are some churches, it is a grievous place to go. Sometimes because there is severe strife in the church, and the pastor is doing everything he can, and yet there are factions, and there's infighting, and there's sin issues that the pastor is trying to deal with, but the congregation refuses, and there's just this, it's just, the thing is in a constant uproar. You show up on Sunday, the building might be full. But there is this mayhem and chaos going on in the church. And it's not a place of peace, it's just, oh, I gotta go and minister to this place, but oh my word, the headaches that are there. And pity the poor pastor, you know, he's gotta deal with this, and he's dealing with this, and it's just a hard thing, and he's determined to stay there, because if he leaves, the next guy's gonna inherit the problem, and he's determined to fix it, but I don't see, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and it's just a hard thing. So you preach in some churches like that. You go over to this one over here, where you may have some good people, but the thing is just sort of languishing. The pastor is weak, or he's got his own issues that he's not dealing with properly, and you've got a church that's just existing, and it's slowly dwindling, and it's going to eventually die. And so you minister, and then you go to this church over here, and the church may not be a great huge church, might be just a little church. But the spirit of the people is fantastic. It is a singing church. It is a unified church. The people have a hunger for the Word of God. They are eager to minister to one another and to the people they know. And it is just a joy to be there and with those people. It's just a blessed place to be. And when you think of Corinth and all the trouble, all the difficulty, Paul wrote two epistles, both of them trying to fix problems. And just the schism, the factions, the theological difficulties, Corinth was a headache. Big church. It was a headache. You go to the churches there in Galatia, and they are dealing with the problem of false teachers, and they're on the verge of departing from the faith. And Paul had devoted so much time and effort to this, and this is Timothy's stomping grounds. This is where he came from. And just a grievous thing to see what, but then he goes back to Philippi. Philippi, where the people are faithful. Philippi, where the people are praying. Philippi, where the people are serving. Philippi, where it's a place that is very supportive and encouraging. And yeah, I can look at Corinth and I can look at Galatia and I can look at a number of other places, but you know, it's always encouraging to think of Philippi. And so Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. It's a positive thought when he thinks of Philippi. It was a fruitful ministry. This is the place that God sent us when we had the Macedonian call. We went to a place that did not have a synagogue. I couldn't go through the normal steps that I went through by preaching the fulfillment of the Old Testament hope there in the synagogue. And so I met with some people down by the riverside, and we shared the gospel, and some people were saved, and then I got thrown into jail. And through that, there was a great ministry. The jailer was saved and his whole family. There was great fruit from this. It was a blessed thing. A church was established. And then reading the book of Philippians, and we'll get into this a little bit further, that the church, it was a serving church. The people were busy doing the work that God had called them to do. And so he had personal friendships there. Luke was the fellow who had been the first pastor to establish these people and get them organized and trained and serving the Lord. And so when he thought about these folks, it was a pleasant thing. It was a comforting thing. It was an encouraging thing to look back and consider the church there in Philippi. And then he says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I want to pause here. He says always, always. I keep a prayer list, and I pray every week. And I divide it up into seven, because it would take me all day to pray through my prayer list if I did it every day. And I pray for these folks on Monday and these folks on Tuesday and go on down the list. And most of what I pray, I occasionally pray for a few things, but for the most part, I'm praying for people. And I make it a point that every week you get prayed for, and 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 everybody here gets prayed for. Every week you get prayed for. You're not neglected. You're not forgotten. You get prayed for. Why do you get prayed for every week? Well, one of the reasons, this is the only reason, but it's helpful, is I have a list. I don't forget. Because I have a list. I have a routine that I go through. Now, my wife will tell you I am a creature of habit. There's certain things, yes, she's nodding her head. If something messes up my apple cart, it's like, okay, wait a minute, how am I going to redo this? I'm a creature of habit. Most of us, to some extent, are creatures of habit. There are certain things that we just do. We have our morning routine. We may have an evening routine. The rest of the day, maybe go, doing whatever. But we have certain habits, certain routines. And I want to tell you that you need to make prayer a part of your daily routine. It isn't one of those things, I need to be praying. Well, schedule it. Plan on it. Put the mechanism in place so you're doing this. Some folks lay out the clothes that they're going to be wearing the next day. They've got them taken care of. Or you go in the bathroom. You've got your various things all in place, ready to go, because you know where you're going to, you know your toothbrush is, you know where your razor is, you know where your stuff is, because you're going to be using it. If somebody moves it, oh, my routine is messed up because I can't find my whatever. Have a time, have a place, have a list. and stick with it. You know, there may be an exception, but you know, we don't forget to brush our teeth. We don't forget to take a shower. We don't forget to do our hair. Ladies, you don't forget to put on your makeup and stuff. You don't forget your certain things. They're part of the routine. Oh, I can't leave the house. I didn't take care of this yet. Prayer needs to be just as important, more important. Your prayer life needs to be something that is set in stone. It is inflexible. In your Bible, if people were fasting, there were different reasons why. But what almost always went in conjunction with fasting? Okay, you said it?
Prayer.
Prayer. If I've got a full day and I don't have, I set aside, if need be, throw away the meal. It takes time. Either to prepare a meal or sit down and eat it. Take the time and pray. When I was working the second job, when Grace was first started, I used to take the break times I had at work and use that when I was working in the shop, and use that for my prayer time. I loved it when they put me on the road and I'm behind the wheel and I could drive and pray at the same time. But when I was working in the shop, I took my break time and I used that for prayer time. Have it scheduled. Have a plan. Have a list. And stick with it. Because Paul said always, in every prayer, without exception, in every prayer of mine, for you, making requests with joy. Paul, every time Paul prayed, he prayed for the Philippians. He thanked the Lord for the Philippians. And so he prayed specifically for them. So again, having the list. And I try, I know I don't always succeed, but I try to keep tabs either by observation, listening, or sometimes asking, what's going on? What are the needs with Leo? What are the needs with Nathan? What are the needs with Pam? What are the different needs? Because I bring them before the Lord. Now, I will let you know something else. If you hadn't figured this out, I mentioned this at prayer meeting probably, I don't know, 6 months or a year ago. Do you know what is a great blessing, a very liberating thing? If you want some measure of freedom, especially when you is that, you know, I can my requests that I bring before the Lord regarding certain people are what I believe God needs to do in their lives. If I were to ask that person, what are the requests that you would have me bring before God? Very often the things that they're going to tell me are not the things that I'm praying for. Okay, you know where I'm going. Because they're thinking, well, I threw up my back and things are rough at the job. And no, I'm thinking, boy, this guy needs to get right with God. Or this guy's got a serious problem with this and he's clueless. Or he won't acknowledge it. Or this needs to be happened. Or this needs to take, and so I have great liberty in my prayers. Now, I'm not necessarily telling everybody, I'm not telling everybody else about it, but I'm telling God and he knows. It is a very freeing thing. That I can, whatever spiritual perception I have, I can ask God to do these things in these hearts and lives. Because I'm not doing this for my benefit. I'm doing it for the glory of God, for the benefit, ultimately, of the person I'm praying for. And some of the things that I'm praying for them are not necessarily things that occur to them. He prays for them all the time. And he prays always. We sometimes, if we don't keep the list, if we don't keep the time, our prayers become sporadic, our prayers become intermittent, and our prayers have a tendency to go away for certain people. I pray regularly for some people I haven't seen in years. Now, I know Facebook is helpful. Get updates. But there's a lot of people that I pray for that would have passed off the scene as far as my prayers are concerned because I don't see them. I don't talk to them. But they're there and the need is still there. And sometimes it's greater than it was. And so being faithful and consistent, persevering, don't quit. Sometimes years and years go by and God does some great thing. I had a blessed thing happen 2 weeks ago. Somebody was sharing that when their kids were little, they'd all profess faith in Christ. And then they got into their adult years and one of my children went away from the Lord. And he'd been away from the Lord for years and years and years and years and years. And then just recently, he got right with God. And what a blessed thing, because now I can say it wasn't just as a profession as a child, but now in adulthood, my children all know the Lord. Yeah, but decades had passed. Yes, but I had been praying. I had not quit. I persevered. I was faithful. When it looked hopeless, I prayed. And God answered that prayer. What a blessing. Don't quit. Don't quit. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. There's gratitude in God's dealings. And then also in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The idea of fellowship is having something in common. And how many of you have prayer cards on your refrigerator? Yes. This is where we keep our prayer cards, on the refrigerator. If you have a prayer notebook, and some people have one, I would suggest rather that you get a hole punch and tape it or whatever, but put it in your notebook. Make it a point of praying for the missionaries on a regular basis, not just to make it be refrigerator art. That you pray for these people. The prayer card is there so that you will pray for them. Not just try to be spiritual by saying, I have prayer cards on my refrigerator. We need to be praying for these people. And in praying for those people, I want you to flip back a page to Ephesians 6. Now, in dealing with the whole armor of God, starting in verse 10, he finishes up verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he launches into this, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says this, verse 19, for me and for me. Pray for me. Why? Why should we pray for the Apostle Paul? The people then could say. Says that here's his request, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I believe, I think this teaches that, I can show you other passages too, prayer accomplishes something. Prayer is not just words we say. Prayer is not just a recitation. I am not so Calvinistic that my prayer is simply incense in the nose of God and it does nothing. Prayer accomplishes things. Prayer does things. Paul says, pray for me so that this can happen. So that utterance will be given unto me. Pray for boldness. Pray for opportunity. Pray for things for your missionaries. Not just for safety and so, but pray for them to have boldness and opportunity. Pray for me. Pray for yourselves for boldness and opportunity for sharing the gospel, for opportunities to minister. Pray. And as Paul says in verse 5, flipping back over, for your fellowship, for your camaraderie, for your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. These people were participants in Paul's ministry. Not only because he was the founder of that church, But also, he prayed for them and they prayed for him. They were fellowshipping, even though they're not there face to face. They were fellowshipping. They were serving with each other through prayer. And the Philippian church also, we'll get into this in chapter 2, sent one of their own to be a helper to Paul, by the name of Epaphroditus. Paul needs some help. Paul needs an assistant. We want to be doing anything we can, and Epaphroditus is willing and able to go, so we're going to send him, and not only we're going to send him, but we're going to send him with a gift, financial help for the Apostle Paul, because sometimes he's okay financially, and sometimes there's nothing. And so we are going to do what we can to be a help to him. We are going to participate in Paul's ministry. We are going to fellowship together in this gospel by participating in the ministry with him. And so as we support missionaries, as we support the Millers and the Petersons and the Facendas, we are participating in a ministry in Germany and Korea and on the Oregon coast. We are participating in ministry. We are fellowshipping together in the gospel with these people. Not only financially, but ideally, folks, we need to be praying for our missionaries. I mean, I just mentioned the Facendas, the Petersons, and the Millers. Could you come up with those people? Do you pray for them? They're the missionaries that we support here at Grace Baptist Church. We also support the school that Farlows, thank you. Pray for them last night. Pray that the Farlows serve in Brazil, in Curitiba, Brazil. Do you pray for these folks? Do you pray for those ministries? We need to. We send them money. Let's pray for them too. And if you talk to a missionary who's very much in earnest, they will tell you the prayer support is more important than the financial support. And so the folks there in Philippi were participating, not only financially, not only in their sending a laborer in Epaphroditus, but primarily, and that's the context here, I think, primarily in their prayers. And that is the most important part. We need to be earnest in our prayers. It is our participation in large degree with the ministry. It is the empowerment of the servant of God to create the opportunities that he or she might be successful in accomplishing the task that God has called them to do. Okay. We'll pick it up next time. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, may we be people of prayer. Praying for this ministry, praying for one another, praying for folks all over the world. Father, we have a vast fellowship. And Father, I pray that we'd be faithful, dutiful in praying not only for the missionaries we support, but many others that we're acquainted with. And Father, we pray for the Cranes in Papua New Guinea. Pray that you'd encourage them, keep them healthy and safe. Pray for the Farlows there in Brazil and help Barry with his doctoral work, and for them to be able to continue to be able to get Mark's diabetic supplies, and also with the uncertainty in the government down there, that you would the government would leave them alone with the school, and you'd also provide the additional property that the church there is needed for a church plant. And so, Father, we ask you to minister there, you minister all over the world. Keep your people safe, keep them healthy, Father, keep them bold. And Father, may there be lasting fruit. And Father, may we be participating in that. In our prayers, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.